Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in just after 5 o'clock here on a December afternoon. It's weird that we're officially, I guess, December early evening. Still weird that it's December 1st. I say this every year, but God, it seems like it went by fast.
It's damn cold today.
Yeah, it was chilly, but it's clear.
Yeah. Right?
I think we got a couple more days. Any day that over the holidays, any day where we're in November and it's a dry day, I count that as a win.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind the cold. I just don't like the cold and the rain. I can handle a little rain. I can handle the cold. I just don't like it when it's cold and rainy. And when it's like gray and dreary. Like today, it was sunny outside.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
Poking through. I opened up the blinds this morning. Started at my coffee, and I'm like, oh, sun. This is nice. Not really a December type of morning, but I don't know. We're spoiled because, like, late into October, we had those sunny days, too. Yeah. So I guess I'm used to it now.
Well, and I don't know. This is my favorite time of the year. Like, everyone, like, I guess the Thanksgiving, it gives you the Sunday scaries. You have the 4-day, like, kind of, like, day off. I love it. I wake up, like, on December 1st, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I broke out the Christmas decorations today. Now, I didn't get up on the roof to get the lights down, but, this was my pre- Like, I got everything, like, in the garage, everything in the living room, and then tomorrow morning, I attack it. We get the lights up, get the inflatable Santa going, get the Grinch out there. It's just, like, kind of my, and I'm not even, like, a, like, I don't even care about the religious aspect of it. I just love this time of the year. I love the music. I love the lights. I love the decorations. Hopefully everyone's in a good mood out there.
Yeah.
It's a good time of the year.
It's fun.
Whether it's Christmas, whether it's Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, winter solstice, or just December 25th. My favorite Christmas tune always has that line, and it says, Christmas can mean anything to anyone, and it's the most magical time of the year. I even drove by to downtown today just to see the tree, because we can't call it the Christmas tree.
The
tree.
Apparently referencing any kind of religion is not okay by Portland city leaders, so just
I could
tree.
Care less. So if we're calling it the tree, I went by and saw the tree. It's a beautiful tree.
I
didn't realize that it got lit up on Friday. Because I was down here milling around on Saturday. I guess I was milling around on the other side of town. I was on the other side of the Willamette. But I would have gone. I guess I didn't realize that we were doing the tree lighting. I would have gone and poked my head down in there.
I feel like
this
is...
Like a good tree lighting.
I feel like this is a yearly Black Friday thing. My wife and I went, 12 years ago with my dad and my stepmom, sisters. That was really fun. But like it just... I don't know. It seems like it's changed a lot. And then I don't know if COVID, like trying to come back from that, kept people from going. But yeah, I kind of forgot about the whole tree lighting ceremony.
Enjoy it.
The tree.
Happy holidays or Christmas or whatever the hell you want to make it. Hopefully the next month is a beautiful month. And we're smack dab in the middle of a great NFL season.
Oh, my God.
College football has been insane. I feel like, unfortunately, the coaching carousel has kind of distracted us from the fact that I think this college football playoff is going to be bananas. I mean, this college football week that we have coming up, championship week, is really interesting. I mean, you can say what you will about the title games not meaning everything, and I get it, because you look at like the SEC and in the Big Ten, all four of those teams should be in, although I've heard some people making the case that if Alabama loses and loses badly, could Alabama be on the outside looking in? I don't think so, but if you're playing in one of the title games, in theory, you should be fine, right? Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas Tech, yes, BYU, no. If BYU loses, they ain't getting in.
So, like, there's no chance if Ohio State shellacks Indiana or vice versa, they're dropping out of the top four.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think one and two, Indiana and Ohio State, I think not only are they obviously squarely in,
yeah,
they're in the top four. Like, when you look at this, I feel like Oregon is very safely the five or six team in the country, right? I think there is an outside opportunity. I really do that Oregon could move up into the four. I feel like if Bama gets drilled by Georgia, I still think they're in the playoff. We have not seen, now it's only been the 1 year, but we, like last year, we did not see a team punished. We were told that getting into the your conference title game can only help you. It can't punish you. But do I believe that with BYU?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Not.
Do I believe it with Alabama? No.
The college football championship for conferences is such a 2010s thing. It just doesn't reward you anymore. Well, you can say that it doesn't matter. It matters.
Well, for a school like BYU, they have to win.
Yeah.
They're winning, they're in. But for Texas Tech, it doesn't. For Georgia, it doesn't. For Ohio State, it doesn't. For Alabama, does it? Because when you look at this thing, essentially, when you look at the way the college football playoff is lined up currently, Ohio State in, right? No debate. Indiana in. Texas A&M in. Georgia in, Texas Tech in, Oregon in, Ole Miss in, Oklahoma in. Any arguments there?
Nope.
Like, they're all in, no matter what. There's nothing that can be done that they're in. And then you're going to throw in the ACC champ, in theory, right?
Maybe.
And even if it's not the ACC champ, which is so strange, because believe it or not, in some ass-backwards sort of world, the ACC's tiebreaker system does not have 10-2 Miami, who's just on the outside of the playoff looking in, and somehow 7-5 Duke is in that playoff game. So if Virginia wins the ACC title game, Virginia-Duke, Virginia is in. They're guaranteed a spot. If Duke wins, not so fast. Because remember, funny little wording here in the college football playoff, it's not the top, it's not the power four conferences and one group of five,
yeah.
It's the five highest ranked conference champions. So we know the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 will be ranked. The idea was that the ACC champion will always be ranked higher than the other conferences. Not so fast. If 7-5 Duke finds a way to beat Virginia, North Texas and Tulane, whoever wins that, right? Whoever wins the American Conference, they will be ranked higher. And if James Madison ends up beating Troy in the Sun Belt, believe it or not, James Madison will be ranked above Duke. And in that scenario, it is a real-life scenario where the ACC would not get a team in. And both North Texas, Tulane, one of those, and James Madison would go, and not a single team from the ACC, including Miami, would get in. You want to talk about something that would cause a mass riot in the world of college football? I mean, there's already people telling the ACC that they should have broken their tiebreaker rules and booted Duke and put in Miami. Or if Duke wins, that the ACC should declare Miami their conference champion anyways. Like, people are trying to find legal loopholes. But either way, let's assume that whether it's an ACC team or another James Madison-type team gets in, right? There is a spot there for another conference champion that's going to get in. And then the group of five. So when you take all those teams, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas Tech, Oregon, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and then some version of the ACC or the Sun Belt champ, and then the Group of Five champ, those spots guaranteed, which basically means that there are six teams for two spots. So when you look at this, you now have Notre Dame, Alabama, BYU, Miami, Vanderbilt, Texas. And only two can get in. The other spots are guaranteed. And if we're going to assume that Alabama gets in no matter what, because we've been told that the conference title game can't hurt you, and that's Alabama, and if Alabama wins, they're in no matter what, and Georgia's in. So if you assume that Alabama is in no matter what, one spot, one. And most people think that Notre Dame's already in. So if you're Vanderbilt in Texas, dude, you're not making it. You're done. Now, who could throw a monkey wrench in this whole thing is BYU. Because if BYU finds a way to beat Texas Tech, and by the way, BYU's not beating Texas Tech. I'm a BYU guy. I watched that game. I think it was 29-7. It wasn't that close. Like, Texas Tech dog walked us. I mean, we didn't belong in the same field with them. We couldn't block them. We couldn't do a damn thing. That game should have been more like 40-7. Texas Tech, just their offense shot themselves in the foot way too many times. But if BYU finds a way to beat Texas Tech, guess what? BYU gets to go and Texas Tech gets to go. Which means all the, remember I said you're playing for two spots? Those spots are gone. Those spots are filled up. So Texas can bitch and moan all they want. Vandy can bitch and moan all they want. Miami can bitch and moan all they want. There's just not enough spots. And it's funny is when you look at last year, Indiana getting in, SMU getting in, Vandy, Texas, Miami, they all have better resumes than those teams that got in. But the way it's falling this year, the fact that Oklahoma did what they did, the fact that you have basically three Big Ten teams doing what they're doing, it's just it's a crowded room. And someone's going to get screwed over. In fact, multiple teams are going to get screwed over. And I seen Mario Cristobal the moment after Miami got done playing. And by the way, they beat the brakes off of Pitt. Very nice statement win. The moment they got done, what did he start doing? He started stumping for his team. Steve Sarkisian said that it would be terrible for the sport if his team gets left out.
A three-loss SEC team, yeah.
Well, and Steve, you know, for all of the blowhardy crap that he was spewing out there, he does make a valid point. Texas is a two-loss team that also lost to Ohio State, right? Texas had a bad loss against Florida, and then they dropped one to, who else did they lose to? I gotta pull it up. They lost to, hold on, because they lost to Ohio State. They had the terrible loss to Florida, and they had another close loss to another good team. Oh, Georgia, and it wasn't close. Georgia beat them. Georgia beat them handily. They had the terrible loss to Florida, and they lost to Ohio State. Steve Sarkisian's point was, had they not scheduled Ohio State and they had done what, I don't know, Oregon did, and schedule Oregon State or schedule Oklahoma State, Texas is a two-loss team and is in. But they didn't. They scheduled Ohio State. Does Steve Sarkisian have an argument? Absolutely he does. Does Texas belong in the playoff? Absolutely they do. Do they have a shot to get in? No, they don't.
I mean, is it really?
Miami has a legitimate argument. Vandy has a legitimate argument. BYU is 11-1. BYU lost one game in a Power Four conference. Regardless of what happens in the conference title game, last year, guess what? BYU should have gotten in. This year, does BYU have a good case to get in? Yes. Are they going to? No. That's my point is Notre Dame, Alabama, BYU, Miami, Vandy, Texas, all have a legitimate argument to be playoff teams. But only two can get in. So it's not as if any of these teams aren't worthy. It's just not the way it works because life isn't fair sometimes. Well, life is hard. Get a cup. And if you're Texas and you don't want to schedule Ohio State anymore, I get it. But you did. You chose to do it. No one put a gun to your head. You wanted to play in that big game, and I applaud Texas for playing in that big game. But know that if you play Ohio State to start your year and you lose, you now put yourself behind the eight ball, and you know you can only lose one more game. And you lost to a crappy-ass Florida team. And you got the brakes beat off of you against Georgia. You made it. These are all your decisions, which goes back to my original argument. We love to bitch and complain in college football about things that we did. You created this. You scheduled it. You took the money. You took the hype and said, we play anyone, any place. And you did, and you lost. And now you want to say, oh, well, it's not so fair. No. You did it. So those schools can bitch and moan, but at the end of the day, when you look at it, there's going to be some worthwhile teams that get left out. And that's just the way it is.
Well, and I don't.
And if you're one of those schools, you better be rooting against BYU. You better hope that Texas Tech takes care of business, because if BYU gets in, and then you assuming that Notre Dame is in, then it's over. And if anyone really has a case to be upset, it's Miami, because Miami has two losses and Notre Dame has two losses. And the team that's ahead right now is Notre Dame. And guess who beat Notre Dame? Miami.
Well,
so if you want a team that really has a reason to be a pissed, it's Miami. It's not Texas, and it's not Vanderbilt.
No, I understand why Steve Sarkisian's stumping, though. But for anybody to think that like the quality of a win over a Texas A&M, their regular season finale, when 2 weeks ago they had almost gotten boat raced by South Carolina. Like that,
Everyone has that. Everyone can say, I almost did this. I can take any schedule and I can pick it apart. It's like Texas again. needed, should have lost to Mississippi State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Took overtime to Kentucky. I can pick apart Oregon.
Yeah.
I can sit there and say Oregon lost to Indiana, damn near lost to Penn State, didn't look good against UW, didn't look good against, I mean, we can do this with everybody. Every schedule has it, but at the end of the day, there's 12 teams, and the way this has been set up, these are the rules in which we have to play by. And some years, like last year, it's kind of, it evens itself out. Last year, no one really had a case to really be angry. This year, there's going to be teams that have a legitimate case to be angry. There's just going to be teams that are going to get left out because there's just not enough spots. But like, had Oklahoma lost in their final against LSU, which was a close game, that would have opened up another spot. Had Alabama S'd the bet in the Iron Bowl, which they almost did. How about Kalen DeBoer on fourth and, you know, goal, by the way, tie game, and he decides to go for it as opposed to kicking a field goal.
No kidding.
Right? If Alabama had S'd the bet, there's another spot that's open. And had they done that, then all those teams, the Miamis and the Texases, you would have had a legitimate argument. But they didn't. They didn't crap the bed. And you ultimately did. In a schedule that you decided to play. No one put a gun to your head and made you play that schedule. That's just the way it is. The only one that I can really feel bad for is Miami. Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head. And that should matter. And maybe it ultimately does. And maybe the committee does the flip-flop thing. But realize that when you talk about this, there's six teams playing for two spots and possibly one, depending on what happens with BYU.
There's just no way. There is no way that, man, like James Madison's could still get into this. Like when we see, there is no way that we're going to have.
Yes, there is a way.
Well, what I'm saying is there's no way we're going to have the 12 best teams, no matter how this shakes out. And I think that's the big argument.
But it was never the best 12 teams. Otherwise, the group of five wouldn't have been included.
I mean, is there a world
where Tulane and North Texas are not one of the 12 best teams in America?
Of course not. But by record, are they? How do you define what the best 12 teams are, I guess? It's just guys in a room picking it instead
the
of a
system,
computer.
But this goes back to it. It's the system that you guys decided on.
And that's true.
For Steve Sarkisian or anyone else to bitch and complain, it's the same thing with the transfer portal. It's the same thing with the calendar. It's all a product of you.
Isn't the
institutions. There is not some sort of evil guy twisting his handlebar mustache. You all decided on this. And no matter what version we come up with, we're always pissed at the end.
I mean,
it drives me crazy. And let me just say my final piece here on this, as crappy as this is, and it's going to suck for BYU, it's going to suck for Notre Dame, it's going to suck for Miami, it's going to suck for Texas, Vandy, whatever. Whoever the teams that end up on the outside looking in, this is going to stink. It's better than the 4-team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than the 2-team playoff. It's better when we had no playoff. This is a better system. And the transfer portal, which stinks in some ways, is better than the players having no control. The NIL system, which is dumb and broken, is better than the players not being able to make any sort of compensation, right? And the coaches have been able to always been able to do whatever the hell they want. The Lane Kiffin thing is nothing new. We've seen this since the beginning of time. Coaches can do whatever the hell they want. So as stupid as this system is, this is still the best system we've ever put in place. And if you want a better system, the schools have the ability to do this. The schools have the ability to get together with everyone another and be like, hey, for the betterment of all, can we please come up with a system that's more fair and equitable? But no one wants to do it.
I mean, maybe I have a caveat that no 3-loss teams can be in the college football playoff. Like, I think there's got to be like a floor, right? You've got to meet certain expectations record-wise. There's got to be one defining trait. You can't just go, well, this team might be better than this team. There's got to be something that we can base it off of analytics-wise.
But then we get back to, I can't believe we're letting computers decide all this.
I hear you, brother.
And by the way, if you went from a 12-team to a 14-team, guess what? We'd still have this argument.
Yep.
Because if you went to a 14-team playoff, then let's say Notre Dame gets in, Miami gets in, Vandy would still be pissed, BYU would still be pissed. If you went to a 16-team playoff, there would still be teams that are pissed because then we get into 3- and 4- loss teams. And then they would be angry and be like, "What? You're always going to leave a handful of teams that are out. And no system is going to be perfect. But what we have, believe it or not, is better. So before you listen to any talking head dumbass from ESPN that's spouting off about Lane Kiffin, even though they share the same agent. I'm looking right at you, Dan Orlovsky, or Kurt Herbstreit that had the nerve to stand up there with Nick Saban, who, again, Nick Saban, a Jimmy Sexton client, and talk about the travesty of Ole Miss not letting Lane Kiffin be your coach. Before you listen to any of these people complain about the calendar and the system that's in place and realize that ESPN is one of the reasons why we have this current system in place, they're one of the ones that helped break it, supposedly break it, realize that the players are better compensated now because they're actually compensated. Coaches are more compensated than ever. The conferences are making more money than ever. The TV numbers are up. Viewership is up across the board. So when everyone says that the system is broken and woe is me, what exactly is broken about it other than it creates a lot of chaos and creates a lot of debate, which a lot of the talking heads, including myself, we get to go on here and then we get to yell and scream about it into Paul Feinbaum's ear or whoever. So what exactly is broken about it? Other than Oregon State and Washington State, you guys have a right to bitch. I'll listen to Oregon State and Washington State fan. You guys got screwed. But everyone else, what do you want? You want the old system in place? You want it from what, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? Do you want to go back to the 14 playoff when we took an undefeated Florida State team and said no because your quarterback's hurt, you're out? You want to go back to that system? You want to go back to a system where last year the Ohio State, which can anyone doubt that Ohio State was the best team in the country? And no other time in college football history would Ohio State even been allowed to play for a chance to win the national title. And yet Ohio State inevitably, and it's not even close, was the best team last year. So just be careful when we do the, oh, the system is broken. No, it's not. It's just imperfect. And the system will always be imperfect because the sport can't get out of its own way. We come back, we'll get into the coaching carousel, including some Oregon Duck news where they're looking for one, possibly two new coordinators, and my team may be looking for a new head coach. We'll get you all caught up on the comings and goings of the coaches before we actually get into the transfer portal season, and then we get to find out where all the players are going. But remember, it's the problem is that the players all get to move, even though we potentially have a college football playoff where of the 12 teams that are in there, four may be without coaches. But again, it's the player movement that's the problem. Primetime here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Derailed a little bit by the coaching search.
I already forgot like what happened over the weekend, the games wise, man. Good Lord.
I mean, we had some really good games. I mean, seriously, like think about that. Like the big game, Ohio State, Michigan ended up being a dud.
Sucked.
But Cal SMU ended up being a phenomenal game, which, by the way, you want to talk about crap in the bed. How about SMU? SMU losing to Cal and opening the door for 7-5 Duke to play for the ACC title. Alabama had their life on the line, and they had it fourth and goal in a tie ball game with like 4 minutes left in the Iron Bowl, and Caleb DeBoer went for it from like the 6-yard line or something, as opposed to kicking a chip shot field goal. My man went for it and got it. Ended up winning that, but can you imagine had Alabama not gotten that, and then they lose to, like, what, 5-6 Auburn? Auburn goes down and kicks a field goal and bumps Alabama out of the playoffs. We could have another opening. They may have fired DeBoer on the spot. LSU-Oklahoma ended up being a close game. That was with Oklahoma having their playoff on the line. So, and then Oregon-Washington, even though some people are debating, I think Oregon would have been fine even if they lost that game. That ended up being a great game. I mean, it wasn't necessarily the best played game in the world. No. Washington, in another shocking turn of events, their offense didn't show up in a big game. It's just embarrassing how you have that much talent on that side of the ball. In every big game, they refuse to show up. Like, I think Damon Williams could be good, but also Damon Williams may end up just being another college quarterback that got a lot of hype that never delivered on it, because their offense has too much potential to be this bad in every big game that they played. It didn't show up in one big game. And even after they put something on the board there and you kind of thought, oh man, it's a one score game in fourth quarter, Dante Moore rips that ball down the middle to Malik Benson, who then splits basically the entire Washington team. That footage of him, the still of him having five Huskies around him as he's splitting them, that should go up somewhere. Like, that's an all-timer in that rivalry. And Oregon cements their place in the college football playoff. So it was a great weekend of college football. And yet, ultimately, I think the Lane Kiffin thing ended up being maybe the biggest story in college football that I've seen in like 10 years. Dude, that thing was just like, it was crazy.
So many angles to it, too. Like the whole like Lane files, we don't have to get into that, but yeah. Just like the funny stuff.
Turns out Lane Kiffin's dog isn't even his. Old Juice Kiffin, the dog that he'd been posting, wasn't even his dog.
I know.
He had a fake dog for social media purposes. Yeah, the whole tarmac thing. Ole Miss took Lane Kiffin's clothes and put him out on the street.
That was an older pick. That was not that one. I loved that one too, but they figured out that was just a shot of just a rack, and that did not actually happen.
I so wanted that.
Yeah, there was a tweet that said, "Wow, they just put Ole Miss just put his clothes out on the sidewalk like a hurt fiance or a hurt spouse," but no, that did not happen.
Would have been incredible. We did have everyone show up at the airport to flip everyone off. Kiffin basically trying to hold Ole Miss hostage and tried to get him to leave for LSU while continuing to coach Ole Miss in the playoff. ESPN, all their talking heads go on and basically stooped for Lane Kiffin, even though they all have the same agent. It just was an embarrassment. And then all the coaching things that went down, including a couple more firings, right? Jonathan Smith ended up getting canned from Michigan State.
Yep.
Mark Stoops ended up getting canned from Kentucky. My favorite part about that is someone asked Mark Stoops if he would step down. He was owed $38 million. Mark Stoops goes, "There is zero chance I'm stepping down." And the only reason he said that is Kentucky was trying to buy him out. So they agreed to give him his $38 million, but over several years of payments.
Yeah. You knew that was happening.
Yeah. So at this point, what we have is what? UCLA has hired James Madison's Bob Chesney.
Yep.
Which, by the way, is fun because James Madison honestly could make the college football playoff. And if they did, if Duke ends up winning, there is a good chance that James Madison it makes the playoff. Yeah. And if they do, there will be four teams of the 12 that don't have head coaches.
He will be allowed, though.
He will be allowed.
Yeah, UCLA is letting him stay at James
Summerall as well at Tulane. If they make it, he will be allowed. So North Texas.
I hate that hire by Florida, by the way. Summerall. It just doesn't feel like a serious hire. It feels like you're just kind of grabbing at the grab bag again, hoping that something hits. Like, I don't know what they're doing there.
So what we have basically at this point of the jobs that have been filled. So Jonathan Smith gets fired and immediately they hire Pat Fitzgerald. So the old Northwestern coach that got fired due to a hazing incident, which apparently now Pat Fitzgerald has been exonerated from. So Jonathan Smith out, Pat Fitzgerald in. UCLA hires Bob Chesney, who had taken over for Kurt Cignetti. By the way, this feels like a real like West Virginia sort of like family tree line. Well, Cooter was married to Skeezer, and Skeezer was the uncle, you know, and it's just kind of down the
Skeezer's
line.
Skeezer's cousin got married, to his sister. Like,
so
what?
Chesney gets hired by UCLA. Ole Miss gets the boot from Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin is obviously now the coach at LSU. So Ole Miss needed a coach. They went within. They promoted Pete Golding, who's their defensive coordinator. So he's going to take over, not as the interim guy. He's the permanent guy. They went with Notre Dame. But Lane also took basically his entire offensive staff with him to LSU. So apparently Pete Golding is going to coach in the playoff. Not certain who's running his offense, but someone's going to be there. We mentioned the LSU job. Now, Florida was waiting for Lane Kiffin. They came out over the weekend and realized that Lane Kiffin was not coming to Florida, so they pivoted and they went with John Summerall. He was the coach for Tulane. So he's the coach at Florida. Then we get to Auburn. Alex Golish, who was the coach at South Florida, he was going to be the coach at Arkansas. But on his way to Fayetteville, apparently he stopped off in Auburn and decided to not be the coach at Arkansas, even though that was a done deal. And he said, not so fast. So he's now the coach at Auburn. So Arkansas was left at the bridal.
At the altar.
Yeah, at the altar. So they had to pivot because they thought Golish was the guy. So they went with Ryan Silverfield, and he was the Memphis coach. So he's now been hired at Arkansas. Stanford went with Tavita Pritchard. Colorado State ended up going with Jim Mora from UConn. Oklahoma State has hired Eric Morris, who was the coach at North Texas.
Yep.
So if North Texas ends up getting in, they won't have a coach. Technically, they will, because he's going to be allowed, but he will be coaching for Oklahoma State and North Texas. And then we get into the ones that we know. Virginia Tech has already been filled by James Franklin. And then Kentucky has filled their coaching vacancy by going with Oregon offensive coordinator Will Stein, who we have been told will coach throughout the Oregon college football playoff run.
And to circle back around to the start of all that, what you said, Cal, still looking for a head coach. They did upset SMU over the weekend, and that was really funny. Didn't have Nick Rolovich getting a Gatorade bath on my bingo card for the weekend. But hey, wacky weekend of college football. Tosh Lupoi, Oregon defensive coordinator, being named as most likely the top candidate for the Cal job.
Yes.
This still isn't over, Sook.
No. So Oregon could be looking for two brand new coordinators, where a couple weeks ago, it didn't look like anyone was going anywhere. So it didn't sound like Lupoi or Stein were really guys that were getting kicked around a lot. But Wilcox gets canned from Cal. A lot of people thought maybe Rolovich would get that job. And by the way, he still may end up getting that job. But it sounds like Lupoi is the guy there. Stein is from Kentucky. So the moment that that job came open, Stein's name was immediately linked to that. He goes there. And then really the only big, large vacancy that's out there at this point is Penn State, which is interesting because Penn State was the very first school to fire their coach. Penn State started all of this like 2 months ago. And so throughout all of this, Penn State has been kind of quiet. The only name that you've heard from Penn State is really Brian Daboll, who was the fired coach of the New York Giants. But it sounds like right now, the scuttlebutt on the street is that Penn State has focused on one man, and they are trying to make Kalani Sitake, who is the BYU head coach, their guy. So here's another one. If BYU beats Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game this weekend, which probably won't happen, Texas Tech dog-walked BYU earlier, but if they were to do that, BYU would get to go to the playoff, and they could be without their head coach because he would be coaching for BYU and Penn State simultaneously. So I think that's pretty much everything. And I mean, this carousel has been freaking nuts.
Yeah, and in 2 years, these schools are going to be making hires again, Sook.
Buttercup, Mary, Humperdinck in a little less than half an hour. That's what we're dealing with here. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. But I would also like to point out that somehow all the schools that are doing this and that are paying out hundreds of millions of dollars to coaches that aren't coaching there anymore and are giving out hundreds of millions of dollars to coaches now that in a couple years they'll be paying to not coach. These are the schools that are asking the federal government to step in and solve a problem that they have created because they can't control themselves. Also, fun note, and the whole Lane Kiffin thing, Jimmy Sexton, who is Lane Kiffin's agent, who's also the agent of everybody, he's Nick Saban's agent. He's basically, if you are in the world of college football, you are a Jimmy Sexton client. Apparently, that son of a bitch negotiated a deal where if Ole Miss keeps winning in the playoff, Lane Kiffin had bonus structure, right? So for every game that Ole Miss wins, Lane Kiffin gets like $250,000, $300,000 from Ole Miss. It is now in his LSU contract that if Ole Miss wins any games in this playoff, LSU has to pay Lane Kiffin bonus money because of what Ole Miss is doing. And LSU is like, cool. I agree to that.
So bad.
This is less than a month after the Louisiana governor stood on a podium and said that we will never, ever put ourselves in the situation where we have the Brian Kelly thing where they had to pay Brian Kelly $58 million. He literally said that a month ago. And then they just went and gave Lane Kiffin $13 million a year, $90 million guaranteed with an 80% buyout and bonus clause for what Ole Miss is going to do and a commitment supposedly to give him $25 or $30 million every year in NIL budget. But the governor just got done saying that they'll never put themselves in a situation. But the system is broken because of someone other than these schools, and we need government intervention. Did I miss anything on that?
No. I think that was a really long segment because that was a lot of happenings over the weekend, man. Good. I don't remember as active of a coaching carousel like in a 72-hour period.
With big names.
Yeah, huge.
Big names, big schools. All right, D-Bet.
Take a breath.
We come back, maybe we eventually try to touch on some NFL. It's all been college football, but there was some National Football League stuff that went on over the weekend and the holiday weekend, and it was a big deal. And you got some teams now that we thought coming into the year were the best teams in football that have put themselves behind a nasty little eight ball. That when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
And yes, text program is correct. The one thing we thought we forgot in this whole coaching carousel, and forgive me, because we did address it earlier in the show. We actually spent a decent amount of time on it. You can go back and listen on the wonderful Odyssey.
Oh, of course.
But in the midst of all that, and there's just so much crap going on, your Oregon State Beavers have a brand new coach. So, and really that came out like on Thursday evening, Friday, like we kind of figured out that that's where they were going. When everyone started dropping out of it, Jamarcus Shepherd, who is the passing game coordinator, assistant head coach, co-offensive coordinator, whatever you want to view him as, he's part of Kalen DeBoer's staff down at Alabama. He is your next coach of the Oregon State Beavers. In fact, tomorrow he will have a press conference, and by all accounts, very impressive dude. Talked to a couple of people that dealt with him when he was up in Seattle, and they like rave about him. He's one of those guys that even when he was up at UW, they were like, dude, this guy is going to be a star. Like, you can just tell. Mike Tomlin was our DB's coach. Not even DB's. He was the corners coach. When I was with the Buccaneers, and he kind of ran our scout team, everyone there was like, yeah. Like, he was like a brand new coach. He was very young. He was like as young as a lot of the players. And every person was like, yeah, Mike Tomlin's going to go on and do
just
things.
When you hear Jamar Shepard talk, like, he seems to know how to get, and frankly, for a program like Oregon State, that's what you need, how to get the most out of the least that he can. So
I did not want to slight Oregon State fan.
It's just, I have ADHD, and I didn't even think of his name amongst all of the different things that you just listed in our last segment happening soon.
It's like, just it's crazy. Nuts. And by the way, there still could be more to come. Like, we don't know.
I mean, Cal's still open.
Yeah, Cal's still open.
Penn State's still open.
I'm assuming at this point, everyone that's going to be fired would have been fired, but but we still have a bunch of positions that have to be filled. Yeah. Now, these are all usually lower level programs.
But if Penn State grabs Kalani Sitake,
then BYU has an opening. And that's just kind of the way it works. So we'll try to get Coach Shepard on at some point this week, but we will have some of the press conference tomorrow. So whenever that goes. And this is the sort of guy that I wanted Oregon State to hire all along. And I know that, you know, whether that ended up being Vegan, who was the other guy from Montana State, I wanted Oregon State to not do the retread thing. And it does sound like Oregon State was aware that Jonathan Smith was going to be fired at Michigan State.
Really?
Yeah, because I've heard some people that are going down the road of, well, if you would have waited a day or two, Jonathan Smith would have been available.
Did you want that, though?
So it's talking to some people that supposedly are in the know. There is, and again, take it for what it's worth. It's just, you know, people, I'm not saying I have any sort of super secret sources. I just, obviously we know people in this business that cover programs and stuff gets out. And right now the narrative that I'm hearing from Oregon State is they were aware of the Jonathan Smith thing, that they kicked the tires on that. And it was just viewed as a kind of a bridge too far for a guy that kind of left the program seemingly in a lurch. You know, that wasn't a good breakup. And that's usually the case with most breakups, right? When you are being left, that's usually not a great thing, but especially with the idea of they were in the middle of a really good season and, you know, did he have his eye off the ball? He was leaving when the school was going through, obviously, a tough time, getting basically booted out of the Power Four. And so supposedly it was just viewed by the powers that be that was a bridge too far with a lot of their fan base. And by the way, I applaud them for not reaching back to the Jonathan Smith thing. Jonathan Smith thing would have been the safe hire, right? The Paul Chryst thing would have been the safe hire. I've said all along, with the exception of, you know, if you were going to get just, you know, like a hammer sitting coach, which, let's be honest, at the Pac-12 level where it is now, you're not getting that guy. You're not.
Nope.
James Franklin's not walking through the door to take that job, okay? So there is no such thing as a safe hire. Paul Chryst and Jonathan Smith are not safe hires. They're safer hires, right? But Jonathan Smith, there's no guarantee that he can recreate what he had the first time around. And there's no guarantee that Paul Chryst can reproduce what he did with Wisconsin. New era, new challenges, all that stuff. So the idea that there is a safe hire, I don't believe it. So to me, I would rather take the guy that has the upside. I'd rather go with the unknown. Because when you look around, The teams that catch lightning in the bottle, it's usually not a retread. It's usually the guy that's an unknown coordinator. It's usually a guy that's coming up from the lower ranks, and they miss out too. There's not a single hire, including Lane Kiffin, that you can say is a slam dunk.
Yeah,
Lane Kiffin's going to go to LSU, and they're going to give him $90 million, and supposedly they're going to give him $30 million a year in NIL budget, and LSU wins, right? That's what we've been told. LSU wins. I'd also like to point out that LSU, with the exception of 1 year, in the last 15 years, has lost three or more games every year. Now, the one exception to that was Joe Burrow, who went undefeated and, you know, won a national title. Outside of that, they have lost at least three games every year for 15 years. I'd also like to point out that USC, which we were told Lincoln Riley was a slam dunk. In 9 years, Washington State has as many bowl games as USC. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a slam dunk. I think James Franklin of Virginia Tech is going to work. Supposedly their recruiting class is going great. No guarantee. Brian Kelly going from Notre Dame to LSU. We said the same thing. Brian Kelly's a hell of a coach. Going to go down to LSU. How'd that work out? We had a national championship coach at Florida State that left for better resources at Texas A&M. And at the time, what did we hear? They're going to spend more money on their roster than anyone in college football history. How'd that work out for Jimbo? And that's a national champion coach, right? There's no such thing as a guarantee. So if there's no such thing as a guarantee, give me the guy that's young, energetic, and can light the fan base on fire. And from what I've heard, Coach Shepard, coming from Alabama, is 42 years old. He's a dynamic speaker. He's a hell of a recruiter. And he's a basically a motivational speaker. And that when you get in a room with him, he's going to light up the room.
On top of that, he's bringing how many offensive assistants from Alabama on his staff? Like, Oregon State staff will be part Alabama staff from 2025 next year. That's huge.
Including a general manager.
Yeah.
Which Oregon State didn't have. For some reason, they were the one school who was like, we don't need a GM. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
And now you got one. Who was the assistant general manager at Alabama? It's not brain. I love the idea of, and this is kind of what Oregon did. Oregon was like, well, I want someone that worked under Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, and please do what they did and bring it here. Worked out pretty good. And I know it's not the same level, but I love the idea of going in and being like, hey, man, you're a guy that cut his teeth under Kalen DeBoer at a bunch of different places, and you've been really successful, and you're well thought of, and we think we're catching you on the upside. If you gave me the choice between catching someone on the upside or catching someone that needs a job that's kind of maybe kind of at the peak of their career and is on the downside, I'll take the upside every time. I thought Oregon State, for what they had to work with, I think this is a really good hire. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful, but this is the guy, the sort of guy that I wanted all along, and I applaud Oregon State for it. I absolutely do. And if he's gone in 3 years, it means that you've won 10 games. And isn't that a good thing? Like, Will Stein is gone, and Tosh Lapoy probably will be gone. Guess what that means for Oregon? You did a really good job. Because when you win games, people come for your coaches. And that means a successful hire. It means that he's leaving your program better than when he got there. So excited for what Oregon State has to offer. All right, one more segment before we move into Club 1080. Woe is me to the $100 million athlete. That coming up next. Primetime here on The Fan. All right, we're about out of time here before we move into the club. What do I got in the old tickle trunk? In the club. Oh, yeah, I've got some. Got a nice Florida story for you here. Florida man at it again.
Yeah, somebody being stupid. Okay, cool.
Well, I just like, we'll talk about it. It's a terrible story, but I just like the excuses that people make when caught doing things. I was always fascinated by that. Well, I just, I meant to do one thing. I'm not going to get to the $100 million man, but apparently maybe I'll get into this club because it's sports related, but it's the idea that you can make $100 million and then do $100 million isn't as much as you think.
Hold on.
I kind of enjoyed that. Got a couple Disneyland stories, and I've done something that I said that I would never do, and I broke down, and I got called out on it today by the fan man, and I have been adamantly against something, and it's hard. When you've spent 20 years railing against something, and then you break down, you're kind of hoping that people won't notice.
Do it in secret, and you're hoping nobody looks.
I got called out on it today, and it's a valid point. I'd also like to mention the Monday night game is on right now, which, Giants, Patriots, whatever. Can we just recognize the Patriots are wearing the throwbacks? They're wearing the hiking Patriot.
Yeah.
Is there a I've said it before, I'll continue to say it again. Is there a throwback that is not 1,000 times better than the current uniform? The Seahawks wore the throwbacks. The Seahawks have one of the worst uniforms in football.
Yeah.
And when they wear the throwbacks, you're a Seahawk guy. Why? Why not just make the throw? Everyone loves the throwback. The throwback is one of the cleanest looks in football. Whatever warmed over Russell Wilson garbage they throw out there on a daily basis, it looks like piss. And when they do that, when they wear the throwbacks, I'm like, yes. When Tampa wears the throwback, beautiful. When the Chargers wear the throwback, beautiful. The Eagles and the Kelly Green, there's not one throwback that isn't significantly better than the current uniform.
I agree, especially with the
Broncos
Seahawks.
Is another one.
Oh, my God. I love the Denver's old orange. Yeah, and the bright blue along with it. No, the Seahawks specifically, man, I think it was around when Matt Hasselbeck joined the team when they moved on from that old, navy blue or whatever in silver. And they, what is it, highlighter green, whatever you want to call it?
I don't know. It's highlighter crap.
It's okay. It's not great.
It's baby predator dump is like, what it looks like. It's
some
just awful.
Yeah, it's some new age color. And that's right around that time in the NFL, there were teams like the Rams, like that were trying to do like the whole gold thing. Like they were moving to these quote unquote like new age, like, you know, futuristic colors. And I hate them. So, yeah, Seahawks, just go back. And I'd actually say the Seahawks uniform is better than the Pats classic uniform. But I'm biased.
So. I understand. I'm just, don't get me wrong. The Seahawks have a clean look. But so do the Pats. That I love, especially when they wear the red one.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, it's just, it's a good look. For whatever reason, uniforms peaked like in like 1988. It's just a better look. And I get that then we hit the 90s and everyone had to be like new and hip and modern. But when's the last time a modern uniform ended up being good? When's the last time someone made a radical shift and had it end up being like the one where you're like, I'm really glad they went to that? Because it almost never works.
I think the Falcons jerseys look a little bit cleaner than they used to.
Oh,
but like,
no.
I don't. Not the current new, version. No, no, no. Not the newest version, but like 5 years ago. They were yeah, like even, when they were in the Super Bowl.
But their logo, again, when they do the throwback Dion Falcon, it looks way better.
Agreed.
It looks way better.
Oh, with the how about the throwback Falcon red helmets? Man?
Yes.
Those are better.
It's just a better look. I can't. I'm trying to rack my head to come up with one modern uniform where you're like, this is better than the old one. The best uniform in football is when you go with the Tennessee Oilers. You know, because now the Titans still are the Oilers. So when they wear the old Oilers throwback, it's the best look in football. But they don't do it because they had to become the Titans. They should have just kept and been the Tennessee Oilers.
Well, so like, are you a fan of like the Cowboys and Packers that have basically never changed their
yes.
logos, never changed their jerseys?
And if you want to update it, like the Packers do the all whites or the Cowboys do the stars on the shoulders, you want to tweak it a little bit. But at no point are the Cowboys like, you know, this star kind of seems stupid. Like, let's make a radical shift here. You know, this stupid Packer logo that's been there since 1908, let's radically... No, you can tweak it, you can update it, but
you know,
stick with what works. It's a great look for a reason.
There's one team, I think, Suk, to answer your question. That would be the powder blue that the Chargers switched to. From the darker blue after the
but no,
Ryan
the
Leaf
powder
days.
Blue is the throwback.
Oh, F. Then never mind.
No,
okay,
when
so
you
I,
go back
the
to
throwback.
The old Chargers,
I'm just too young.
No, the Lance Allworth, like the original Chargers, those are the yellow
yeah, those
and
are
powder
better
blues.
Than, man. Yeah, they're better.
Yeah,
yeah.
The dark blue, the navy blue ones, that's the like Stan Humphries. That was, but if you want to go all the way back, yeah, the powder blues are the throwbacks.
Nobody looks bad in powder blue.
No. And the Eagles, like, I don't think the Eagles look bad. They didn't change much. But that green, you're telling me that when they wear the Kelly green, that it's not a better look?
Actually, for me, I like the newer one better. Mm. But that's probably the one.
Yeah. I remember when I was at BYU, we changed uniforms. We have really good unis. And we went to these horse crap things. And eventually someone was like, can we just go back to the old stuff that looked good, that everyone liked? It's just like when you look good, don't try to look better. It works. Stick with it. Not everyone can be Oregon. Oregon's whole thing is they change and evolve. I get it. But outside of even, I still think the Oregon stuff, like what they wore against Washington, I still think that's the best look they have.
Yep.
Looks freaking great.
Yeah, very slick.
All right, Club 1080 coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, And you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.